Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Our lesson this will come from the book of Revelation. In fact, it's an overview of this great book that is inspired by God. And the reason that we are presenting this lesson this morning is because it came as a request. In that, we want to answer some questions as we go through and consider the context and the meaning of this book. When was it given and why was it given? And then also, can we understand the revelation? There are many people who conclude that the book of Revelation is not able to be understood, but yet at the same time, you and I understand that whenever it comes to God's Word, there are indeed things that are hard to be understood, but yet at the same time, if we give ourselves into an in-depth consideration of the context of which God has given His message, that we are able to understand it. Why? Because our God is not the God of confusion. Rather, good people, our God has revealed Himself through His inspired Word, as well as identifies Himself through His creation. Why does He do that? Because He wants us to come to know Him. In the book of Revelation, we can understand the basis of the book if we will approach it from the standpoint that God wants us to do. We need to remember this at all times. God wants us to understand. We need to reveal the context of Scripture, but also to reveal the context of the circumstances of which these people of whom John was writing to by way of inspiration, the context that these individuals were dealing with. We need to reason with the Scripture, the immediate context as to what was going on therein, but also the overall context, the big picture in regard to the way in which God looks to the church and His relationship with people. Good people, first I want to identify some concerns. First off, there are some in their confusion who misrepresent the book of Revelation. They assert that it points to future things that are going to take place. In fact, oftentimes you will find these individuals, whenever they refer to the book of Revelation, they will say the revelations of Jesus Christ. The Greek word is apocalyptus, and it is stated in a singular sense. And therefore, it's not the revelations of Jesus Christ, but rather the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Him to show His servants of the things that must shortly come to pass. That's very important for us to understand. Individuals who live in the religious world, they are confused about the fullness of Scripture, and therefore they fail to see that the things that are written in the book of Revelation, the majority of those things have already come to pass. How do we know? Because John, as he is receiving this revelation from God, it is stated unto him that these things must shortly come to pass. Well, what does that mean, good people? It means that these individuals were going to be able to realize, to see these events. They were going to be able to understand these things before their very eyes. That's what God identifies in the declaration of these things must shortly come to pass. The church was not looking to things that was going to take place some years, even in our time, but rather during the time in which they were living at that given point. But also some, whenever they approach the book of Revelation, they approach it from a literal standpoint. In that, they try to take a literal interpretation of the things that are stated therein. Good people, we need to understand that when we look to the book of Revelation, we are dealing with apocalyptic language. Well, what does that mean? It is a language that is highly symbolic. It presents some symbolic terms or terminology. It also identifies some visions that are very highly symbolic in nature, but in like figure, the expressions that are oftentimes stated therein, they are symbols wherein that the church would have understood. We do not understand fully apocalyptic language today, but yet at the same time, those to whom this message was originally given, they would have clearly understood the message. Why? Because it was written in a language that was familiar to the church at that time. But yet at the same time, while the church understood it, those of Rome, those who were persecuting the church, they did not understand it. And therefore, it was a language for God's people of that day to understand. And yet at the same time, for a certain group of people, the Romans, who were persecuting them, so that they would not be able to understand the fullness of the message. Why? Because it served as a message of comfort and encouragement unto our God's people. There are others who will approach their study of the book of Revelation saying that it deals with a study of eschatology. Well, what does that word eschatology mean? Good people, it is a study or an evidence, as they would say, of final or last things. They look to the things that are stated in and throughout the book of Revelation from a symbolic standpoint, but because they are trying to determine these things from a literal standpoint, they look to natural disasters that take place in our world today, such as hurricanes or violent tornadoes or earthquakes. And they say that these things point to the sign of the times wherein that we will see before Jesus Christ our Lord comes back. Oftentimes, too, they will look to political leaders based out of things that are stated from a figurative standpoint in context, but yet at the same time, because they approach it from a literal point of view, they try to take wherein that God presents leaders figuratively. They take these things literally and they say, well, these certain leaders who are ruling worldwide or universally, that these are the leaders from the book of Revelation, and therefore these leaders must lead in order for the things that are stated in the book of Revelation to come to pass. They will take wars and rumors of wars. Also things that are stated from an apocalyptic standpoint in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And they will assert that these things are indications, that these things are signs, that these things must come to pass before our Lord returns. But good people, we need to understand that the book of Revelation is not a study of last things, but rather it is a study of things that the church was facing and that the Lord's people were going to go through during the time in which they were there. Others, because of these positions, live in fear of the Antichrist. They look to those leaders and they say that these are evil leaders and that these individuals will impose upon Christians the mark of the beast, and that there will be a time of trial and great tribulation before Jesus Christ comes to renew His kingdom, to establish His physical earthly kingdom. But good people, understand is that the Antichrist was present even during the time of the first century. That's what John says in the book of 1 John chapter 2 verses 18 and following. Well, who was the Antichrist? The Antichrist was anyone who was against Christ. They were individuals who came out of the Lord's church and they were wreaking havoc upon the body of Christ and frustrating the will of God as it pertained to the salvation of mankind. These things that are stated in the book of Revelation, they do not point to the last times, and therefore there's no fear. There should be no fear in the lives of God's people as we pursue our understanding of the will of God. Because of the position that many people take in regard to their stand with the book of Revelation, many neglect to pursue the truth. In the denominational world, they buy into premillennialism that asserts that Christ was caught off guard whenever He came to this world, and therefore when He was nailed to the cross, He had to come up with a plan B, and that's where the church came from. That's what they say. Because of their understanding, misunderstanding, then they no longer pursue the truth. And I'm going to tell you this morning, in the Lord's church, sometimes we're just as guilty. People look to the book of Revelation from the church and they say that it is impossible for us to understand what it is that is stated therein, and therefore we never preach and teach from it. And good people, we can and we must understand the truth of this good book as it is presented, not only in the context, but for us today. How can we understand? We need to examine all symbolism that is given in the book. Oftentimes, or frequently, John uses by way of revelation a term like or even as. And as it is presented there, he is setting the context to help us to understand that he is going to present something that is not an actual, but rather that it is a picture or a similarity to the thing or to the point that he's trying to get the people then as well as us to understand. But also, we need to make certain that we consider the circumstances of the day. What are the background that would help us to understand the context of the message? To whom was this message given? God identifies in the first three chapters that He's speaking primarily to the seven churches of Asia Minor. But also, as you move forward through chapter 4, through the end of chapter 22, He is speaking abroad unto the body of Christ of that time. During that day, given the situations that these individuals were facing to help them understand our God, as well as to give them strength and courage to endure, to go through the things that they were going to face. What is it then that we need to understand? We need to realize how the saints were suffering of that day. Christians were being persecuted. You say, Kevin, weren't Christians always persecuted in the first century? Yes, they were. But good people, we need to understand that at the hand of Rome, primarily Nero, and then later Domitian, and that's the context here, Christians were being persecuted like never before. Their lives were being threatened, and they were being murdered because of their stand for our God. And as we approach the book of Revelation, we need to approach it with this understanding, how God's people were suffering. And in like figure, we need to use a proper hermeneutics. What is that? Context, context, context must determine meaning. If we get outside of the context, then good people, we have not been fair, not only whenever it comes to our study of the book of Revelation, but whenever it comes to any study that we will engage in the Word of God. We must approach the Scripture from the context, and the context alone must help us to understand the meaning of the message that God lays before us. And then, finally, whenever we understand the message, then we need to take and to say, is there an application that you and I need to know today as it would pertain to our life and our relationship with God? Let's get into the context. Good people, we need to understand that Domitian occupied the throne at that time. You heard me say a few moments ago that the saints suffered at the hand of Nero. Nero served many years before this, and he hated the body of Christ. Why? Because he had instituted empirical worship. That meaning is that everyone within the land was ordered, an edict or a decree had been sent forth that they were to bow themselves down to Nero and to the images of the Roman emperors of that day. And God's people would not do that. Why? Because they understood that their allegiance was unto our God and our God alone. And for that reason, Nero hated the body of Christ. And this history tells us that Nero was responsible for the burning of Rome. Who do you think took responsibility for that? Good people, Nero did not take responsibility for that, but rather he stood up and said that Christians were responsible for the burning of Rome. Why did he do that? Because of his hatred for the Lord's church, for God's people. And he wanted these individuals to be hated by everyone within the land of Rome, and for the persecution to abound even more. After the death of Nero, we understand that though people allowed the church to have a time of peace and rest, and in fact, the Scripture indicates unto us, as well as history, is that the Lord's church began to move forward. That is, until Domitian occupied the throne. Domitian believed that he was God, and he also demanded empirical worship. But again, our God's people, Christians, said that they could not bow themselves down to Domitian, to a man who claimed to be God. Why? Because they did indeed know and serve the true and the living God. In all, he feared losing his empire. Why did he fear losing his empire? Because he felt, as he had been taught, that someone from within the Christian faith would come and lead a revolt against him and against the empire, and that they ultimately then would take over the throne, throwing him off. And good people, because of the fact of what he believed, and because of what it is that he tried to institute in and amongst the people of that day, even within the realm of God's people, whenever God's people stood opposed to him, the Lord's people paid the price, very much so. the context of the Scripture, the book of Revelation, identifies unto us is that John had been exiled and he was in prison in Patmos. And this John was a man of God. He was inspired by God. Whenever he receives this information, this revelation, good people, he is not speaking on his own accord, but rather he is teaching the will of God as it pertained to the people of that day. And because of the fact of who he is, a Christian, a man who is going to proclaim the will of God, he is arrested and placed in prison at Patmos. And while he is there, our God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and His only begotten Son, revealed a vision unto John, a singular vision, a vision that contained multiple visions wherein that He would be able to convey our God's final revelation unto the people of that day. Some people, according to the context, had very serious problems in their lives, but also some congregations were struggling in their walk with God, and that's why in the first three chapters he pens to the seven churches of Asia Minor. What does he say unto these individuals? Good people, he praises one, Philadelphia, who had not turned their back on God. But yet at the same time, he rebuked the other six. Why? Because they had compromised the will of God. And because of their compromise, John wanted these individuals to understand that God had saw exactly where they were. And unless they were to repent of this evil, of the sin that they had committed, they would lose their relationship with God. He would take away their candlestick, which represents the blessings from God and the life that they enjoyed as a Christian with God. Persecution was abounding throughout the land. Brethren were persecuted because of their stand with God and because of the fact that they would not bow themselves down unto the emperor. How were they being persecuted? Good people, they were being physically abused and they were being mentally mistreated and spiritually. Can you imagine the position that these individuals were in? They were suffering with so much anguish and therefore they must have been questioning in regard to what it is that God was doing and why God would not come and to take care of them. These Christians needed our God's help and they needed not only God to come and to intervene for them, but rather they needed word from God. God's people from time to time throughout the Old Testament Scripture needed word from the Lord. In fact, Israel sometimes would ask, is there any word from the Lord? And that's when God would send forth a prophet and convey God's message before the people of that day. And here, these people needed word from the Lord. And what word was that? Good people, it was word of assurance from God. Is that God's going to be with you even if it means that you die. God's going to be with you even unto death. But yet at the same time, those who will continue on, the message conveys unto these individuals that you will persevere and that the Lord's church is not going to fall apart, but rather that God's people will continue to move forward. God saw their tribulation. That's what he asserts from Revelation chapter 4, verse 6 and following. In the context there, we have a sea of glass. And why does he say that we have a sea of glass? Good people, it identifies is that God was revealing himself unto these individuals, that they were able to see God sitting on his throne, and that they were able to see the power and the majesty of God. But also, God was able to see down upon them. He saw their trial and affliction. He saw the way that they were being persecuted. He understood their heartache, their pain, their anguish. He understood that spiritually, these people were struggling. And God wanted these people to understand that He very clearly realized what it was that they were going through. But yet at the same time, according to what we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verses 1 through 5, many people died due to the persecution that they were receiving, as I think in regard to those who died for the cause of Christ. What a blessing that was to them, amen? But can you imagine how some were taunting them? As what even appears to be the case back over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that whenever those died, that maybe they were not going to be able to be recipients of the blessings of God through Christ whenever He came. I can only imagine that maybe those in Rome were saying, yeah, so much your Christianity has brought you now. These people have died. And the vision here God gives to John and John shares with God's people is that those who were martyrs, those who died for the cause of Christ, understand that our God has received them. They have gone on to their rest. They have gone on to a better place. They have been received unto their eternal reward. And God goes on to speak unto these individuals later on in the context of verses 6 through 13. He says that I will promise you justice. God is the one who will avenge. These individuals were not to be vigilantes. They were not to take matters into their own hands, but rather they were to continue to turn unto the living God and therefore to give themselves over to a full life devoted to God and to realize that God would avenge those who were persecuting them, who were bringing devastation upon these individuals in their life. And God wanted them to understand that not only am I telling you that I'm going to avenge, He says, I'm going to reveal unto you the judgment. Good people, He identifies this by giving them pictures of bowls of judgment. And in the end, God reveals unto these individuals that by the time that the last bowl of judgment is laid out upon these people, it will identify the destruction of Rome as well as it will reveal the power and the glory of God. God's people will be blessed through it all. Oh, there'll be some casualties, He says. There'll be people who certainly walk away from God. But He says, don't be amongst that. He says, there'll be individuals who will die for the cause in Christ. But He says, these individuals, they're blessed because of their stand with God until death. And He says that whenever the Lord's people find that God has judged Rome and that they have fallen, then the Lord's church is going to move forward. Good people, what do we learn in regard to this, the conquest? Rome was morally bankrupt. These people were evil from inside and out. And whatever you read concerning the immorality concerning Rome, you're going to find is that these individuals were filled with pride. These individuals were filled with life that revolved around themselves. And as a result of that, then God allowed Rome to crumble from within. But whenever they had started to crumble from within, then the barbarians came in from outside and overtook Rome. And as a result of all of that, good people, our God destroyed Rome. But yet at the same time, He fortified His own people. He gave them strength. He gave them courage. He gave them hope to look beyond the things that they were going through and to realize that whenever they stood firm unto our God, is that God would indeed bless them through. And history shows us that the church prevailed. But not only does history reveal that unto us, the Scripture identifies unto us is that God's people stood firm and based out of that. On the other side, when Rome had fallen, the Lord's church continued to grow and to abound. What is the purpose of the revelation? Again, of the revelation, not revelations, but of the revelation. It was given to comfort the Christians of that day and to give them hope that someday God would avenge those who were bringing harm upon them. It was to show the wisdom and the power of God, to show that God was indeed wiser than Domitian or emperors before or after him, to show that God was all-powerful while one would rule with a rod of that day, that God ultimately was superior in nature and power and that God would judge those individuals. And it also serves, the book of Revelation serves as a revealing unto us of a beautiful picture of how God takes care of His people. And then the things that is not stated, or the things that have not come to pass, is in the latter portion of the book, wherein that God reveals unto us today that there is a new heaven and a new Jerusalem that far exceeds anything that you and I will ever experience in this life. But the only way in which we're going to be able to acquire that in the end is if we live faithful before God. The book of Revelation is a blessing, and we must study it, and we must understand it, and we must live by it. We must not add to it nor take away from it neither, in order for us to be in a right relationship with God. This morning, while the lesson has not been around becoming a Christian, we want to extend our God's invitation to you this morning to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then to be raised to walk in newness of life.